Congregation, we turn in our Bibles this afternoon to the first chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 1. In my congregation at Chilliwack, we have had a few sermons in this summer interlude from this first chapter of Mark. We considered the baptism of the Lord Jesus, which you find earlier in this chapter. And we considered the temptations of the Lord Jesus and the preaching of the Lord Jesus. And this is the miracle of the Lord Jesus, which is recorded in verses 40 through 45. It notes those miracles in general in verse 34 that he had cast out many demons. But in verse 40, we have the first specific recording of the miracle of Christ, of the healing of the leper. We'll begin reading earlier than it says in your bulletin, not from verse 35, but let us read from verse 29. And we won't read those two passages in Leviticus that are listed in your bulletin, Leviticus 13 and 14. It would be profitable for you to read them sometime this week, as you can hear of the various regulations that were present concerning a leper in Israel. And that would be helpful for you to understand these truths, but it's too much for us to read at the moment. Let's read from verse 29. And as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, that's the Lord Jesus and also the disciples, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So far, the reading of God's holy, infallible word. We make confession of our faith this afternoon with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And after our confession, we will sing together from Psalter 392, 392 stanzas 1, 5, and 6. And may all of you confess with me in your heart, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God comes to us this afternoon from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, the last verses of this chapter, where the Lord Jesus heals the leper who comes to him. Children, you probably are aware that Mark Twain once wrote a book about a really poor man named Tom, or poor boy rather, named Tom. And he lived in a house with his twin sisters, his mother, his grandmother, and his father. His mother was very kind, but his grandmother and his father were very harsh and unkind to Tom. And Tom had to spend all of his days in the streets of London, and he would go out and beg for money because his father and his grandmother wanted him to receive money so that they could purchase alcohol to get drunk every evening. And if he didn't bring enough money in, he was beaten and sent to his room without any supper. It was a very sad life for Tom. Well, he read about and heard about and dreamt about a prince and living in a palace with his servants. And he really wanted to see a real prince. Well, one day he was out wandering in the streets of London and he came upon one of the palaces of the king. And he peered through the fence and he saw there a prince playing outside. And he pressed his face close to the fence so that he could get a good look. But the soldiers saw him and they beat him and chased him away. But the prince, when witnessing the abuse of the soldiers, asked them to bring Tom back to play with him. And so Tom went into the court of the king's palace and began to play with this prince. And the prince provided a wonderful meal for Tom. And during this time, they talked about what their lives were like. And believe it or not, the prince actually became envious of Tom in the sense that he never had the freedom to wander in the streets of London alone. His freedom had always been restricted because of his safety. Well, the prince suggested that they trade clothes and trade roles for a while, and that's what they did. The prince dressed in Tom's rags, and Tom dressed in the prince's royal clothing. Well, little did they know that they soon would be trading places as well. Because when the prince was dressed in Tom's rags, he looked so much like Tom that he was driven from the palace by the soldiers. But Tom, on the other hand, was mistaken for the prince. And he was treated as a prince in this royal palace. They didn't just trade clothes, they actually traded places. Now that's what the good news of the gospel is really all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings trading places with us who are sinners. He takes our rags, you might say, and he clothes us with his royal garments. He then gets treated like us, and we get treated like him. And that's exactly what we see in our text this afternoon. We actually see the Lord Jesus trading places with a leper. And we will see first the leper in need seeking the Lord, and then secondly, the Lord in mercy healing the leper. So first we see the leper in need seeking the Lord. Consider this man's need. He was a leper. He was not just a man who had leprosy, but he was a leper. You see, this disease was so overwhelming that it actually defined a person's very existence. We aren't told this man's name. We're simply told that he was a leper. You could never speak about him without referring to the fact that he had leprosy. When people talked about him, they didn't talk about what he said. They didn't talk about his character or his person or his family. They always said he's a leper. Every conversation about him in the community included this fact that this man was a leper. And so a man who contracted leprosy actually suffered greatly physically, socially, spiritually, and in every way. Physically, leprosy was a horrible disease. Actually, it wasn't a skin disease, as was commonly thought in that day, but it was really a malfunction of the nervous system. The disease acted as sort of a permanent anesthetic because it brought numbness to the very extremities of the body. For instance, the fingers and the ears and the eyelids and the nose and the toes and the feet. And gradually it afflicted more and more parts of one's body. And so a man, because he didn't have feelings in his hands, he could pick up a red-hot coal without feeling it. Now, I've seen in our backyard before some young people pick up some red hot coals from the fire and bounce them back and forth in their hands very quickly to avoid burning themselves. But a leper, he could pick up a hot coal and not even feel it. He could step in a nail and wouldn't even feel it as it goes through his foot. Or has been recorded in some places in Africa, a rat could gnaw at the feet of a leper while he was sleeping and they wouldn't even feel it. There is records of a man, Dr. Paul Brand, who was a Christian doctor and who became an authority on leprosy in the 20th century, how that he would send a patient back from the treatment center to their home, and he would send with them a cat to keep away the rats. And so a leper had his basic warning system turned off. And that made him susceptible, as you can imagine, to all sorts of wounds and sores and eventually infections and rotting flesh, which would result in the falling away of one's fingers and toes and even one's nose and ears. And this man in our text, he had a particular bad case of leprosy. We read in Luke's gospel that this man was covered with leprosy. It affected his face, his hands, his arms, his feet, and his legs. He was a mass of ulcers and sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He looked loathsome. He even smelled like death and decay. But the physical components of this disease were not even the worst in Israel. The disease not only robbed a man of their health, but the sentence imposed upon them robbed them of their name and their occupation and their family and their fellowship. It excluded them from the worshiping community of the people. The social dimensions of this disease were even more serious than the medical. According to Leviticus 13, to which I referred you, the person with leprosy was spiritually unclean. And according to the law, he had to separate himself from society. The leper, we read, who was covered with sores, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean, he shall be unclean. All the days that he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. As long as he had this disease, he remained unclean. He was subject to superstition and to fear, and he lived away from his family and his wife and his children, and the group he ate with were all suffering from the same disease. And every face that he looked upon would be a face too, which would perhaps be in the final horrific stages of this disease. And that's where he was going. And he lived this life of isolation, of abandonment, of fear by the world. He could only see his dear wife from the brow of a hill, but no more. They were not allowed to greet him for fear that it would encourage him to come towards them. And so he lived as an outcast. If he turned the bend in the country lane and he saw another human being walking towards him, he had to shout ahead, unclean, unclean. And he would see their alarm and watch the children flee from his presence. There was no sitting at the gate or at the village well, talking with people. Even in the worship in the synagogue was restricted. He could worship there behind a wall out of the sight of the congregation. There was no attendance at marriages or at funerals. They had to stay far away from healthy folk, especially if they were upwind. 100 yards away, Josephus, the first century historian, says that lepers were treated as if they were dead men. The rabbis had made things worse still. If a leper poked his head into a house, in the doorway of the house, the entire home would be declared unclean. He was a sick man. He was estranged from all that was humane and all that was good. Now, in the Bible, leprosy is often a picture for sin. And because leprosy was such a horrible disease and because it had such severe consequences, the leper was declared unclean. He could not fellowship with the people of God. He was an outcast of the community. He couldn't fellowship with God. And because the leper was declared unclean, he was not permitted to enter into the temple. He was not allowed to come into the presence of the Lord. And this is emphasized in the fact that the Lord often used leprosy as a punishment, the most severe punishment for sin. This is illustrated throughout the Bible. Think of Miriam, how she became leprous because she spoke against her brother Moses, who was God's appointed leader. Or think of Gehazi, how he became leprous, as is recorded in the Old Testament, because of his sin of lying to Elisha. Or King Uzziah, how he became leprous because he rose up in pride and offered up incense to the Lord, a task which had been reserved for priests. It was a most severe penalty, wasn't it, from God? It was seen as a picture of sin. Leprosy was a suitable picture for sin, wasn't it? It broke fellowship, didn't it? Leprosy broke fellowship with family, friends, and God. And so our sin separates us from God. It breaks fellowship with the Lord. It destroys family relationships. It brings separation from friends. Leprosy is deeper than the skin, although its effects are external. And sin, too, it is much the same way. It's a matter of the heart, but the external display of sin, it becomes so ugly and grotesque, doesn't it? And leprosy was progressive. It began in the extremities, and it progressed until it reached the vital organs, and it led to death. And so sin is sin. It is progressive. You can't sin in moderation, can you? One sin always leads to another unless there's repentance. And leprosy was indiscriminate in who it affected. Rich and poor, men and women, boys and girls, powerful and weak, people from different classes and gender and wealth, they were all affected. And this is true of sin, isn't it? It has affected each and every one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And leprosy was always fatal. And so the wages of sin is death. Leprosy was humanly incurable. The only hope was a divine act of God. At the point of our text, the last time a leper had been healed was Naaman the Syrian. And so it is with our sin. We cannot remove it by human effort. It can only be removed by the will of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Only the washing away of our sin by the blood of Christ can we have any expectation of being whole before God. And so you understand the great need of this man. As he comes to Christ, he is a desperate, humanly hopeless situation, much the same as we are in our sin. And notice that this man, what does he request of the Lord Jesus? He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now this has profound significance, doesn't it? Here this man was suffering physically in ways which are indescribable. Here was a man who was a walking corpse. He was death warmed over. And does he ask for physical healing, first of all? No, he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, this was the burden of this man's heart, you see. The burden of his heart was that he was unclean. He was unclean according to the law of God. And so he asks for cleansing. He seemed to desire this declaration of cleansing so much more so that he could enter into the temple of the Lord. That seems to have been his biggest grief, the separation from God. And he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He longed for the house of the Lord. And no one else and nothing else could save this man. The law of Moses couldn't save him. It could only condemn him. It couldn't heal the leper. But it could only pronounce judgment upon him. It could tell him how he had to dress. It could tell him where he had to live. It could tell him what he had to say. But it could not deliver him from it. Much the same as the law in our relationship towards sin. It can only condemn us in our sins. It can never save us from our sins. This man, overwhelmed with this fact, that he's ceremonially unclean, he comes to Christ. "If you are willing," he says, "you can make me clean." The Lord Jesus was this man's last hope. Perhaps he had heard of the Lord Jesus as his fame had spread throughout that region. The leper had heard that the Lord Jesus was able to save to the uttermost those who came to him, that he was able to cast out demons. Maybe he had heard it from a distance. Maybe he had witnessed it. Maybe he had some association with those in some ways who had been recipients of Christ's mercy. We don't know how he heard about this, but he recognized that Christ was able to save him. He doesn't say, "Can you save me?" He doesn't say, "Can you heal me? Can you make me clean?" He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And here we see the power of the Lord Jesus. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The law could not save this man. Only Christ could save him. The law cannot save us. Only Christ can save us. The Bible is abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God through him. The Lord Jesus on the cross has so completely satisfied the justice of God that he's able to save. There's no question about his ability to save. And so the Lord Jesus is able, and this leper knew he was able, but is he willing? If you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew the Lord Jesus had the power to make him clean, but was he willing? You see, he did not presume upon Christ's mercy. Yet he pleaded, never doubting the power of Christ. We read that he knelt down, imploring or begging or pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ, "Make me clean. Please make me clean. See my wretchedness. Look at my leprosy. I'm full of it. There's no hope for me in any man. Moses' law cannot help me. I will die as a leper unless you make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean." But would he be willing? And maybe that's where some of you may be wavering in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are certain that he is what you need. You don't doubt that Christ is able to help you, nor that he's able to save you from your certain destruction. You are aware of your desperate condition, but you ask the question, will he help me? Will he reach out his hand and touch someone like me? And if I say yes, then you might respond, "Well, I don't really know. You don't really know how bad I am. You don't know the depths of my sin. You don't know how deeply ingrained my spiritual leprosy has become. I've promised to do better, but I find myself failing time and time again. He wouldn't be willing to help me." But have you ever asked him? Have you ever come to Christ pleading for mercy? Have you ever bowed down before him, pleading for his healing touch? Have you ever seen yourself as serious as this leprous man in pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been as serious as this man is about healing? Have you ever been serious about eternal life? Have you ever pleaded to the Lord Jesus to cleanse you, knowing that he's under no obligation to do so, but that if he doesn't, that you will be unclean? That's what this leper did. He came pleading. Now, how did Jesus respond to him? For we see not only the leper in his need pleading with Christ, but we see the Lord Jesus in mercy, secondly, healing this leper. How did the Lord Jesus respond to him? Well, we read that he was moved with compassion. He reached out and touched him, and he spoke a word of healing to him. And in each of these responses, we see how willing the Lord Jesus is to save. The Lord Jesus displayed his compassion first. Christ saw his loneliness, that he was an outcast from his family and friends, that he was separated from God. He saw this groaning leper on his knees before him. He heard him begging him to be clean. He was moved with compassion. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He was touched by the effect of sin and death in this broken world. And when he saw Mary and Martha brokenhearted because of the death that had taken away their brother Lazarus, the Lord Jesus, we read, wept with them. In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief and to the sufferer sends relief. Here we see the tender love of God, the compassion of the Savior for sinners. The Father, in tender compassion, He sends His Son, the Lord Jesus, to the earth. And the people of God are in the grip of the everlasting affection of our Heavenly Father. It was this God who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that He was constrained to send His only begotten Son. And the compassionate Son in this miracle of healing is displaying to us what God Himself is like. He is our only hope, you see. But you see something more. And here we particularly see that Christ has come to take our place, that He's come to stand in our place. For what does He do? He stretches out His hand and He touches the leper. He grasps this leper with hands of love. This is Christ. He touches a leper. Now think first of all what this means or meant to the leper. How long had it been since he had felt the grasp of another human's hand? If he had been married, he would not have known the loving embrace of his wife since the day his leprosy was diagnosed, and he would have been driven out of his own home. If he would have had children, he would not have known their arms around his neck. He would not have held his son or his daughter in his arms since that time. There would have been no kiss from them upon his cheeks. There would have been no embrace of him. There would have been no handshake. There would have been no touch of another person all the years of his leprosy. Not once. How terrible. But Christ touches him. He could have spoken a word, and that would have been sufficient, but he touched him. Now, do you understand the implications of the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Jewish law said that one who came into contact with a leper became what? Unclean as well. You see what the Lord Jesus was saying by touching this leper? He was saying, in effect, I am willing to become like you under the judgment of the law, so that you can become like me, free from the law and enjoying the fullness of life. I am willing, he's saying, to be a leper. I'm willing to be ostracized. I'm willing to be rejected by society so that you might enjoy fellowship with God and with others. I'm willing to be separated from God that you might live. I'm willing to die the death that you deserve, that you might never see death. See, by healing this man, the Lord Jesus is showing that He has come to overturn all the effects of sin in the world. And in doing so, He's identifying with man and his sin so that He might free us from it. He's trading places with us. Paul speaks of this in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He traded places with the leper. He traded places with us. And then you hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Not only does He come with compassion, not only does He reach out and touch this leper, but He also speaks to him. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. And here we see the all-sufficiency of the Savior. Here we see the willingness of the Savior to save. As soon as He had spoken, we read, immediately the leprosy left Him and He was cleansed. Instant healing. It was all done in the twinkling of an eye. 1 second, this man is full of leprosy. He's covered in sores and rashes. He has stubby fingers and feet with ulcerated stubs. He has no ears, and he has a hole where his nose had been. He is this horrible spectacle of decay and death. And in one moment, he's free from the disease. He's the healthiest man in Galilee. His skin is soft like a baby's skin. His hair is black and shining. His hands are smooth and beautiful. It happened, Mark says, immediately. See, this is what the Lord Jesus can do for you. For anyone, in an instant, in the split second of belief, the healing of Christ in salvation from sin is instantaneous. It is complete. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And he says, I am willing. He says to this leper, I am willing, be cleansed. He says to the hypocrite, I am willing, be cleansed. He says to those who are unfaithful to their spouse, I am willing. He says to those who have murdered and stolen and taken drugs and abused their own children, I am willing to cleanse you from all sin. What power there is in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's willing also to do so. What willingness is shown here in this story. And if you realize that the leprosy of sin has infected your person, then you have no doubt that you're a sinner. And if you believe that, there's no reason why you should not immediately go to him and he will heal you. If you haven't, can you humble yourself? Can you plead as the leper pled, if you are willing, make me clean? And there's one more way in which we see how the Lord Jesus is willing to save and willing to take our place in this text. We see this in the warning the Lord Jesus gives to this man and his response in the last part of our text, verses 43 through 45. In 43 and 44, we read that the Lord Jesus warned this man, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. We don't know if he went to the priest, but we do know that he went out, as it says in verse 45, and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread it, the matter, abroad. And what was the result of that? We read the result of it is that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. We don't have time this afternoon to analyze everything about this man's response and whether it was appropriate or inappropriate or how to understand this in the light of the whole Gospel of Mark. But notice particularly for the purpose of the sermon today, what was the result of this man's disobedience? The Lord Jesus had to stay outside in lonely places. He was barred from the towns and the villages and the cities. You see what it means? He became like the leper. And the leper became like him, interacting with whomever he willed. The Lord Jesus traded places, and all the loss that this leper had experienced because of his leprosy, alienation from society, cut off from his family, and so on, that's what Christ experienced. And this is even more highlighted in the later in the ministry of Christ, isn't it, when he was upon the cross. And we see him and we hear of him on the cross, and he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, he was isolated. He was separated. He was condemned because he traded places with you, because your sin was laid upon the Savior. And so we see how the gospel is being proclaimed in this healing of the leper. It's not just a nice story, but it teaches us something about what Christ has come to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he comes and he trades places with sinners so that they can receive all the blessings of the kingdom, so that they can be forgiven of their sin, so they can be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God, so they can be the heirs of the blessings of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus, he suffers because of our sin. The prince becomes the pauper, and the pauper becomes the prince. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Have you fled to the Lord Jesus? Have you pled with the Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean? If you have, then you know the Lord Jesus is not only able, but you also know that he is willing. And that he has traded places with you by faith in him. And he has cleansed you from all of your sin. And he was condemned because of your sin. He's both able and willing to save all who come to him. Amen. Congregation, receive the blessing from the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.